You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776 is the number. And Bart?
Kyrie.
Today? Kyrie?
Baby, I didn't know he had.
Just move that aside. Move that aside.
I didn't know he had the bunnies like that.
Move that aside. There's a bigger story here, basketball-wise, in the city.
I didn't. You know, I was tough. I'm watching it right now, man. Oh, down goes Frazier.
Mm-hmm. Well, how serious is it? We'll find out in a couple of minutes. Ian Begley of SNY is going to jump on with us in a couple of minutes here.
He gracing us?
And he's going to let us know what he saw last night after the game and what he's heard since. And, you know, we'll get a latest update on Jalen Brunson, who is the latest Knick player to go down with an injury. And how many more? You got 4 of 5 starters are now injured.
We're gonna be starting with the G League. We're gonna have to call some G Leaguers up. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think they already did.
It's only so many Taj Gibsons
Jacob
out there.
Jacob Toppin is not only now back on the roster, but apparently he's also in the dunk contest at All Star Weekend. Did you know that?
Listen, I hope he don't dunk like his brother. Brother let us down, son. Thought he was going to go ahead and win it for us, man. Went up them wacky D's, you know what I'm saying? Your daddy is the 720 master, son. First of all, you got to start with that. Your daddy is 720, you got to do an 830. So and I don't even know if that math add up.
So you think maybe he could do it?
He better. Usually the youngest. It's the truth.
I see. Yeah.
Usually the youngest because he been chasing all his life. He watched his brother – go into college at 35 years old and come out. So he watched him. You know, he been striving to beat him. You know what I mean? I tell you what, Jamal Crawford said he still got juice in him. You know what I'm saying? I'm watching him talk all that stuff with the mustache. He only 37. Let's see Jamal Crawford get back in the league. Listen, his last game went for 51.
You're not bringing him into the NBA in the middle of a season. But I'll tell you what, though. All right, so this what happened last night. There's so many things to it. First and foremost, I know there's going to be a lot of the Knick fans out there. They're going to give me the told you so. And you know what? I'm going to give you the opportunity to go ahead and say what you feel you need to say. Because that is one last night that if you were listening to the radio broadcast, I was on with Kenny Albert. I was, you get that intuition?
Yeah.
Third quarter, because the Knicks were, like, it was the Grizzlies have no one available, and they were winning by 28, and I kept saying second half, I'm like, put this game away, and you know Tibbs, it's got to be 25 points or higher in the fourth quarter for him to call it a day because he is traumatized. He saw as an assistant coach Tracy McGrady score like 15 points in 90 seconds. Like he saw a lead evaporate in no time because of the three-point shot. So he will keep playing his starters. And with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, it's a 20-point lead. And sure enough, in comes Jalen Brunson. And the Grizzlies started getting open threes because the Knicks just kind of unlaced the shoelaces and stopped playing. Yeah. And it was like, and I'm sitting there going, Kenny, and I'm like rubbing my temples like, Kenny, there's another open three, Kenny. There's like a Grizzlies team that's 29th in the NBA in three-point percentage. They made 19. They shot 57%. Like it was the perfect storm. And so you just felt, get this guy out of the game, get him out of the game. But it was all of a sudden it's a 10-point game. And you're like, what the hell? And sure enough, he takes a misstep, the ankle rolls, down he goes, and the entire building gasped just like that. And so what ended up being a win, another win.
Sometimes when you win, you lose. Sometimes when you lose, you win.
It was something Bill Pitt, like we were talking about it after the game. It was, why does it feel like a funeral? Like they won another game. Like they're still winning. They're a half game out of second place in the East, and yet everybody just was like, oh, no. And for Tom Thibodeau, he's going to face the fire today. Mm-hmm. and this is you dance that dance. This is going to happen. And you know what? I'm also going to say this, and then enough for me. But it also made me think the trade deadline's tomorrow. Now they sure as hell better get a guard, right? They have to now. But on top of it, maybe they should have done this sooner.
Yep.
What we've been did they wait too long to get that guard that they needed? Because this, what's the risk? An extra first round pick or something to make sure you have insurance?
It's the law of averages.
Or losing a player?
It's the law of averages, right? Like in this season, what could go wrong? Did go wrong. And you talk about four, your five starters out, right? You know, OG.
Yep. Still Jaylen, out, by the way, which is that's bothering me. There's no update.
Randall,
there's nothing about it.
Mitchell.
It just continues to be a day-to-day situation with OG, and it's an elbow. And all they're saying is inflammation. And while, like, I keep, like, it's being suggested to me that it's not serious. Well, it feels like it's serious if he keeps missing games.
I wonder why they haven't given him a cortisone shot yet.
Maybe he doesn't want it. Remember, he's in a contract year. You can't forget that stuff.
Yeah. So he's damn near a rental.
And it's his shooting arm. So
I mean, I think they just targeted like, hey, we're good. We're winning without you. We can let's get to the other side of the All-Star break.
Probably.
I mean, congratulations, Jalen Brunson. You're a first-time All-Star. Congratulations. You won't be playing in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Like, doesn't that suck?
Two Knicks. That suck? Yes, two Knicks. Now they won't be playing in the game.
Amazing.
And, you know, listen, it's the law of averages, man. And they better start making deals now before the price goes up Thursday. Because now
before
everybody
there's
knows,
more competition.
Now everybody knows you're desperate, right?
So yes.
Now you got to go do that.
I'm
you're
going to
pay the luxury tax now. So, listen, we knew this was an issue.
Yep.
And they should have, like, yeah, they did the OG trade, and that was a great trade. But directly after that, they should have been looking for a small trade where people were like,
to fill in the blanks for Emmanuel quickly. I completely agree.
So now
you look back.
So now you like Bruce Brown, but Bruce Brown ain't a guy who can facilitate. He's not a ball handler, really.
No. He played back up with the Denver Nuggets. He was backing up Jamal Murray last year.
Yeah.
He can do it now. Is it high end? Maybe not, but yeah, he could do it. But like I said, like, it's easy for me to look back in hindsight. That's the easy thing for all of us to do. But as I look back, I was thinking about last night. I'm like, you know what? Why did they wait to the trade deadline to make a move for a piece they obviously needed?
Yeah.
And no disrespect to Malachi Flynn, but he ain't it. Like, you can't go to that level and say, okay, Malachi Flynn, I need you to run the offense for 6 or 7 straight minutes and keep us in the game. He did it in the first half, and they were able to live. But in the second half, defensively, they were bad, and they were giving up open threes. Open threes. Even the biggest scrub in the NBA can make an open three.
Man, leave Derrick Rose alone, man.
No. It wasn't Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose.
Saying.
Talk about a guy.
He looked alive. Like, hold up. Last year, Tibbs told us that this dude was dead. This dude looked like he got life left in him, man. Going to the basket, not finishing on a high level.
All right. Anyways, here's Tibbs after the game, because this is the question we were all wondering. It's basically like, he had to, in his head, say to himself, I cannot put Jalen back in the game. He had to be hoping he did not want to put him back in the game.
You read in the game. I tell you guys that no lead is safe, so you got to read the game.
No lead is safe. They made 12 of 20 from three-point range in the second half. It was ridiculous. And all because you just softened up defensively because you thought, we got this one. And you had it in your pocket, and every time you disrespect the game comes back to haunt you. That's what happened last night. And for Tibbs, know this is his M.O. I am winning this game tonight.
What did it
cost them?
He like a chick bringing baggage into a relationship, man. Like, sometimes you got to let that past trauma go, bro. Like, we get it. But, man, you got to read the room, man.
13 points in 33 seconds is what McGrady did. Now, remember, McGrady, he was a Rocket at the time, and Tibbs was an assistant coach on the Rockets.
Man, you weren't even a main guy, man. That ain't on you,
but still,
Ricky Bobby.
He saw
that
it, and he'll never forget it and references it all the time. It's one of the most improbable comebacks ever.
Bruh,
the game was over.
Bruh, this is the regular season, man. What are we talking about? This ain't a playoff game? Come on, man. Come on. Come on, Tibbs. I'm with you when you're right, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But come on, man. Now what? Now get ready to pay that luxury tax.
Well, most important. So here's Dante DiVincenzo, who, by the way, was the reason why they held on to win. DiVincenzo, it was a 4-point game. He had a huge three out of a timeout. and played great down the stretch. And DiVincenzo continues to show you what he can do. Played 40 minutes. But here's DiVincenzo about his good buddy Brunson and what he saw after the game.
Playing with him for so long and knowing, I said, you good? He was like, I'm good. And I didn't ask anything after that. I don't worry about Jalen at all.
I don't worry about Jalen at all. He said, I'm good, and I didn't ask him anything after that. So
it's kind of like me at Southern Illinois. Yeah, whatever, man. Like, it's like when you come from that type of mentality, you know he'll play through it, but still, it's compromise, right? And, like, at the end of the day, we appreciate what they're doing. You know, you set a game and a half away from second place. But if you're not healthy and not right in the playoffs, we don't want to hear, oh, his ankle was compromised, he's having surgery, or he having a procedure after the season, because it's stupid, right? Yeah. We knew that the more you expose this guy to these crazy minutes, and, you know, when you're trying to make that push down the stretch, you need to be able to start keeping him in shape, but also being able to dial him back a little bit. Like when the other guys come back and they ramp up, you got to put it on them. Like, hey, Jalen carried us while you guys were compromised.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's time for y'all to carry him a little bit, yes, man. We got to start finding ways to get him an early rest in the first quarter. He's going to start the game, and he's going to finish the game.
He played the whole first quarter, scored crazy. 17 points, and then sat for a while, and things were okay. They had a huge lead at the half, but like I said, the third quarter started, the second half started, and it felt like the Knicks untied their shoelaces and never tied them back up again. All right, well, let's get the latest on the Brunson injury, the latest injury of the Knicks. And there's more other injury news as well to discuss. And I always bring in one of the best when it comes to covering the Knicks. That's Ian Begley, SNY. He's all over this team. He's been covering this team a long time. And Bagels joins us right now. All right, so I saw your tweet just right before the show started, and I thought, okay, I got to get you on. So what did you see last night postgame, Ian? What did you witness? And what is the latest that you're hearing about Jalen Brunson and this ankle injury?
Alan, I want to get into all that. After that, though, I want to talk to Coach, the linebacker, Coach Bart Scott. Uh-oh. Bart Scott with his opinion. So,
coach me, Coach.
First and foremost, Jalen, we saw him walking outside, out of the garden, not limping noticeably, kind of walking slowly. Josh Hart, too, no limp. So they look good visibly. And then, you know, you guys played the Dante DiVincenzo clip, and I also checked around, and the aftermath of that ankle injury, I was told that it seemed like he avoided anything serious, any significant ankle sprain. That was the read on it last night. Obviously, you guys know a lot depends on how you wake up the next day and how you feel. Mm-hmm. But that initial thought was that, you know, maybe he'll miss days, not going to miss weeks. So it seems like they dodged a significant ankle injury there with Jalen Brunson.
All right, that's good news. And again, I mean, days, nobody wants that because of how, you know, the lineup right now is so limited, and you still have some tough games coming up before the All-Star break. But you'd take that news over anything after seeing that happen. You talk to the players, Ian. Is there any type of pushback when it comes to the minutes thing that everybody around the Knicks and everybody that has followed Tibbs' career as a coach always brings up? And ironically, or coincidentally, I guess is the better word, Derrick Rose was in the building last night playing in the game when this happens, and we all remember that terrible injury that he had that changed everything for the Bulls all those years ago. Do the players ever talk about, like, in seriousness about the minutes that some of the lead guys are carrying and the impact it could have?
Yeah, Josh Hart does talk about it pretty openly, and, you know, he'll talk about the idea that, man, he played a ton of minutes lately. He was joking around the other day that he appreciated the crowd chanting for Taj Gibson to come in. He wanted him to come in, too, so he could get off the floor. So he does talk openly about it. He's not shy about sharing his opinion. But just in the case of Jalen Brunson specifically and the idea that, you know, maybe, you know, Thibodeau is causing whatever happened last night. I mean, we all know, everybody who watches basketball knows, you would have your best players out there if you're down 10 with, you know, 5-plus minutes to go. So to me, that's not a question. But also the idea that maybe Jalen's getting worn down or he was put in a bad spot. He's put in a bad spot at any point. Well, look, Rick Brunson, his father, is sitting right there. He's right next to Tom Thibodeau. And I would venture to guess that as his dad and as his coach, Rick Brunson's not going to allow Jalen Brunson to be put in a vulnerable spot. So I think that should be taken into account if you're worried about Jalen getting worn down and all that. So that's what I wanted to say, because I heard Coach Bart Scott talking earlier about the idea of Jalen getting run down.
But the crazy thing is dad was never the player he was. So his dad never had to log those type of minutes and carry that type of responsibility. So, yeah, like, we all, like, his dad thinks with that old-school Mark Jackson, Doc Rivers type of mentality, but these guys ain't built like that no more, right? They play way more basketball than his dad played back in the day, coming through that AAU circuit. They pretty much professionals as young players. And what happens is, like, I remember we used to always laugh and enjoy, like, man, don't ever go play for Dave Wannstedt, right? Don't ever go play down in Miami. They're going to start off the season strong. They're going to win the regular season, and they ain't going to have no legs by the time they get to the end. Like, at the end of the day, we like to think that, okay, being in shape, eating right, taking care of your body is one thing. That can kind of make you, you know, last a little longer or still have a little pep in your step. But, you know, one of the keys when I was in Baltimore was the fact that Brian Billick understood the importance of, like, ramping your guys up and gearing them down, right? And he would have the 30 and over club. He would have guys, he would log guys minutes far before the analytics and load management was happening. We were doing that in Baltimore. And if you look at the records of Brian Billick teams or those Ravens teams, outside of the Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles with Andy Reid, we had the greatest records in November, December. No matter what our final score was, we always finished strong. And I just worry about him tiring down, and he's not going to say anything because he's a junkyard dog, right? Because he's a guy that's he's right. Like that horse is just going to run until you're not going to see the end until he just dies. You know what I mean? You know, you look at the horse, you just run him. He's going to run until he runs, until he can't go no more. And it's strategic. So I guess I would ask you, now what? Because now you have to understand that now that he's injured, whether it's serious or not, you have compensation, you know, where you compromise and compensation from one side to the other side. And, you know, you want to get him completely healthy, but you got to start pulling him back. So I would ask you, now what? Which basically asks you, now who?
Right, right. No, and listen, Bart, I'm not here to defend everything that Tom Thibodeau is doing. I don't want to make it sound like that. I just do think that with Rick being there, they're going to make the what they feel is the right decision for Jalen. But as far as what's now, you know, they need to bring somebody on, and they know that. They know they have to get something at the deadline.
But what level?
Take some of the little,
What level? What level are we talking? You know, because there's levels to this.
Yeah. I wouldn't say – I'm not saying starter. I'm saying getting somebody off the bench. I'm saying, like, for names, I would say Alec Burks. I think they're going to be – in on him until something is either done or not done. I think Jordan Clarkson is there on their list, and Bruce Brown is there on their list. So those kinds of players where you could bring somebody in, you take some stress off of the guys that are playing major minutes, you have somebody that could handle the ball, take some of that away from Jalen. So I think that's part of the idea at the deadline, is not to necessarily lessen the minutes on Jalen Brunson, but just lessen the load that he's carrying night in and night out, in addition to the rest of the guys that are playing big minutes.
Now, we're talking with Ian Begley of SNY, and I encourage everybody to make sure you watch the put back, 3 o'clock. So it's right after our show. So you're more than welcome to go ahead and turn that on. 3 o'clock today, and also tomorrow. As you know, tomorrow is a significant day for every reporter in the NBA because it's trade deadline day, and 3 o'clock is a significant time because that's the end of it. So once you're done with our show, just go right and check out Ian Begley as well for all you hoop heads, the putback. And, you know, let's just stay on that then, since Bart brought it up, and, you know, obviously this is going to be a big part of it. The Knicks, does this injury, the OG injury, and you know, obviously Randall – does it change their thinking at all going into the deadline? Or are they going to be more active than maybe they thought they'd be? Would they be looking for more pieces? You know, there was a lot of talk. Brian Windhorst has suggested waiting to the summer might bear more fruit. But because of all the injuries and where they're at and the fact that they're right there in the East, I mean, you know, a half game out of second,
bye-bye,
is there more urgency, Ian, for the Knicks to do something a little more significant than maybe one bench move by tomorrow?
I see what we're talking about there is like a DeJounte Murray, right? That level player. From everything I've heard, yes, they like DeJounte Murray. People over there like DeJounte Murray. But I guess it depends on where the price ends up. But also what you're saying there is you are breaking up a starting lineup that has played really well. And I'm not sure if there's a big appetite to make the kind of move where it's a seismic shift to the lineups and the rotations. But I do think, and I've heard at least, that there is a thought of bringing in more than one player, whether that other player, you know, a strong bench player. So two strong bench players. I think that's at least on the table, at least as of earlier this week. So I don't think they're locked into just one player. If a deal comes along where you can maybe get two players from a team, I think that's an option. But yeah, at the very least, we're talking about getting one guy. And I think there'll be disappointment if they're not able to do that. And I think if they're not able to do that, it's because of what other teams were demanding or willing to put on the table, not their desire to do something.
You know, Allen the other day, I was kind of like loopy, you know, because I got ADHD or something. I don't know. I'm always all
been
over the place.
Here.
So he was talking to somebody, and then I was kind of zoned out, and then he zoned me back in because he said something I hadn't thought about. And We were talking about Chris Paul, right? And, you know.
Here's the thing. All right, Bagels, here's the reality. We were interviewing Brian Windhorst. No, not Brian Windhorst. He was
Bobby Marks.
Bobby Marks, right?
Yeah.
We were interviewing Bobby Marks. And so Bart is on the show, and we're interviewing him. And he's just admitted to you, which he never admitted to me, that he checked out during the interview, probably watching something on television, and then heard something and woke back up again. So now that you know how the show works.
We'll make more things that grab my attention, and I'll stay locked in.
Right, it's my job to keep you, keep your attention. I think your job's to keep the audience attention. That's a whole other story.
Do we put that on Bobby?
It's Bobby's fault for not being engaged.
But we were talking about Chris Paul. We know the Kyle Lowry is out there, but you know, you don't know what type of shape he's in. And
no, we know the shape; it's round. You get it a little more square.
But we don't know if he can come back. And last year he played great in that type of role in the playoffs. That you know he is the lead guy. He's the first guy we think about when we think about who started this Villanova stuff.
Yep.
Right, so do you think that you know creatively we know dealing with the Heat and you know what that means and Pat Riley, but do you see any guys like that maybe potentially being somebody that they can get? I don't know what their contract situation is.
Asking though is Chris Paul, and I was surprised that has never come up considering his relationship with the Knicks front office and the fact that it's sort of the need, right?
But a guy is it the wrong bench, coast though?
Experience and all that other stuff. I'm surprised that has never come up.
I am too, but I think part of that is in a perfect world for the Knicks, right? Whatever they get at the deadline, it's a guy who is under contract for the following season, and because they can use that salary then in whatever they want to do in the summer.
Gotcha.
Alec Burks, though, is not that, right? He's going to be a free agent, so he doesn't check that box. So I don't think it's a hard and fast rule. I'm a little surprised on Paul, too. I mean, because especially, you know, Evan Fournier, you can make the math work there. You send Fournier out, maybe something else, and you bring Paul in. So I'm a little surprised, too. Actually, I'm gonna try to check around on that, Alan. Thank you for the reminder.
Well, I mean, just think about it logically. The fit, right? The fit is everything. The high IQ player, he has a relationship with everybody. You're not asking him to be a starter and play starter minutes. He can close a game. He's got tons of experience. You know, he can run an offense and Jalen's on the bench. Sometimes Jalen can play off the ball and let him run the – there's so many things that make sense. You know, obviously he's hurt, but he's working his way back. I just look at it as feels just like a no-brainer, and yet nowhere has it come up as something, as a connection to the Knicks. And that just surprises me, that's all.
Yeah, same here. Bard, did you hear that? Were you with us?
Well, I'm the one that teed that one up. I remember Allen's greatest hits.
Yeah, but you teed
and I just throw alley hoops
up
there.
And it went somewhere in the woods, and you went off to look for the ball while Bagels and I were trying to have a conversation.
But on Kyle Lowry, though, Bart, you bring up a good point because that would be a buyout market situation. And one thing with the Knicks here is they still have – I'm going to get into the weeds a little bit. They still have their biannual exception that they could use to entice these buyout guys to come. So that's more than like a veteran's minimum. They can offer more money and they can offer an extra year. I think there's only a couple teams that have that are in playoff contention. So that could give them an edge for a Kyle Lowry type situation in a buyout market if it comes to that, if they don't get done what they want to get done at the deadline. So I think that's certainly something to keep an eye on, Bart. That's a good call. But, you know, here and now, let's see what happens with Julius Randle. Maybe you get Mitchell Robinson back late in the season. Brunson does not seem to be a very serious injury. And just get to the break and get these guys some rest and get everybody back and see where they're at after the break when you go to Philly.
Now, two more for you. And the first one is, you mentioned it, so let's go there. It was in the pregame, so there's not a lot of audio on this. But it was interesting what Tom Thibodeau revealed about Mitchell Robinson and his progression, because there are some people that weren't sure he was coming back this year at all, and yet did Tibbs suggest it? Did you get that read that it sounds like he's progressing towards a return this season?
That's what it sounds like. I mean, the idea is, I think, after the All-Star break, he should be able to get on the court and start to do some things on the court. And then, you know, what you're talking about, though, is so much time away. And where is his cardio? Yeah. And how many minutes can he handle, even if he gets cleared to play? Because, you know, we'll remember that offseason where he hurt his foot. He was rehabbing his foot the whole summer. And he came back, and he was really strong, but it took him a while to get his wind back and to be the Mitchell Robinson that, you know, the Knicks were used to. So I just wonder how much that factors in once he's able to get back on the court. Let's say he gets there late in the regular season. What can he handle minutes-wise? Where's his wind? And I would assume he comes off the bench. But to answer the question, Alan, I think there's optimism. There's still optimism that he can get back at some point late in this regular season. And that would be huge for the Knicks, because even if he can give you, you know, 10 minutes, that's tremendous, asset.
Especially what Isaiah Hartenstein's giving you as a starter. All right, and the other one is the lack of information we're getting from OG Anunoby, and the fact that it just continues to be, almost feels like a day-to-day situation, but he has now missed. Is it 5 games now that he has missed? And it's still being called an inflamed elbow. Have you heard anything about his situation, and are we going to see him before the All-Star break?
Oh, well, the thing that I had heard was late last week, like he had been, you know, making progress. And so that leads me to believe that they're not going to have him come back until and unless he's fully out of the woods on this thing. And Tom Thibodeau's kind of hinted at that, you know, he talked about leaning on the medical staff, but he also said, like, look, it's his shooting elbow. So, you know, you have to be careful. So I would assume that you don't see him before the break because of that. But it's about his comfort level, and it's about getting him all the way free of at risk of re-injuring that thing. I think that's where they are. I think that's why they've been cautious. Yeah, but it's been a mysterious one, to say the least.
All right, so where can we see the putback? Tell everybody. 3:00 today and also tomorrow.
Yeah, all of the SNY digital platforms, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. So we're there. And then you're able to replay the show also on the website on SNY.tv. So you can catch us on those platforms. Be sure to check us out. We're going to be diving into everything, Knicks, later today and tomorrow at the deadline.
Love it.
Did they give you a makeup artist over there? Because this, when I'm over there, man, they'd be having me beat my own face. I'd be looking embalmed like I'm Lurch or something off the Addams Family. I'm like, come on, man. Y'all got to at least bring back the makeup staff.
Bart gets all blotchy on SNY. It's weird. On ESPN, he's got beautiful skin. Then on SNY, it's blotchy. I don't understand this.
Yeah, I'm using airy color. I got the wrong color.
That's amazing.
Appreciate
Bart,
you, man.
Let's trade notes, man. I'm looking for my best shade, so let's try to figure it out.
Absolutely. Little olive undertone.
Bagels, thanks so much as always, my man. All the best.
All right, fellas. Appreciate you guys. Take care.
All right. Great intel there from Ian Begley, as always, SNY. The putback at 3:00 today and tomorrow. It's a must-watch, of course, especially if you're a Knicks fan, all the latest. But he just gave us all the intel you possibly need. So we'll give you now the opportunity to react at 800-919-3776. That's coming up. And happy Super Bowl to all who celebrate from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. If you're like me, Super Bowl Sunday is all about scoring the best seat on the couch, grabbing your favorite football snacks, and placing some super bets. Are you taking the under? That's the thing I'm pushing here. Two really good defenses. Don't get caught up on the offensive side, especially with Mahomes. This game's going to be about defense, in my opinion. FanDuel has so many ways for you to end the season with a dub or two or three. Not only can you bet on who will win Super Bowl 58, but FanDuel also has bets for which players will score a touchdown, how many points will be scored, and so much more. New customers join today. You'll get $200 in bonus bets if your first bet of $5 or more wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/Allen to sign up. That's FanDuel.com/Allen. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 or older, physically present in New York. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So it all comes down to Sunday, Chiefs 49ers for the Super Bowl. Plenty of questions about that game earlier this morning on DPH and Rothenberg. Guys were wondering if you find the Chiefs unlikable.
If you're a Chargers fan or a Raiders fan or a Broncos fan and you feel a way about the Chiefs right now, I get that.
Bills fan.
A Bills fan, even a Ravens fan, you're angry, whatever.
Dolphins fan.
That makes sense
to me.
Well,
it's a lot of people.
But I don't understand. But that's out of jealousy.
Well, right. But still, I mean, jealousy turns into, I mean, that's a powerful emotion.
Yes. But if you're like a Bears fan, like, don't you appreciate, maybe I'm wrong, don't you appreciate seeing greatness?
Well, I think to a point. I think to a point.
So we've reached a point where it's not entertaining
for some people,
or fun
not
anymore?
Me. No, listen, I love to see greatness.
And that's brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart and Han, Allen, I'm Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. We just had Ian Begley on, giving us the latest on Jalen Brunson's ankle injury. And he said that it seems like, from what he has seen and heard, that they avoided anything serious. In fact, could be just a couple of days, not weeks, with this injury. He walked out of the locker room last night. No boot, which they usually put a boot no matter what. Like, right, Bart, like, you've seen this, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it's like a mild thing, they throw a boot on it just to protect you for the night. Yeah. No boot, no crutches, no limp, no noticeable limp, actually, is how he put it. And so, you know, it was that part, of course, is at least a little twinge of optimism, but still obviously a bit of concern, because, you know, that was a game that they were up by 28 and he shouldn't have had to get back in the game, but the Knicks allowed the Grizzlies back in the game by softening up defensively. And we all know how Tom Thibodeau does this stuff. You know, he's not going to sacrifice a game. So let's get the calls, because I know you all have something to say about it. 800-919-3776. Let's start with Dave in East Meadow. What's up, Dave? Dave.
Damn it, Dave. You're the first one.
Dave, call back. Joe in West Harrison. Joe.
Guys, how are you? First of all, Bart, why don't you leave the makeup to the pasty white guy next to you? You have a year-round tan. You don't need no makeup. You look good.
What's yeah, but pasty? You know, what but you know,
I got the five cock shadow. I got the hyperpigmentation. Hold up.
Pasty, Bart. I'm a lot of things. Am I pasty?
No, but you haven't got no sun yet. Down. You know what I'm saying? We got to get you another West Coast trip when the sun's out on the West Coast.
I do need another West Coast trip. I will admit that. But
Alan, I see you in the parking lot at MetLife a long time ago, so I know you're not that pasty. I'm just having some fun here.
You're not that capacity compared to powder.
Yeah. I'm not powder.
Exactly. No. Well,
it's all good. I'm just
messing around. Now you went over the other side with that. Anyway, Alan, I agree with you on the fall. I mean, I'm sure most people thought the same thing. So he's not afraid to take the big shot. He's probably a better facilitator than Brunson. I mean, but Brunson's such a great scorer. But I would definitely bring him in 100%. And I'm definitely concerned with Ananobi, you know, because he averages 60 games a year. And I guess that's why Toronto gave up on him a little bit. But we definitely got to bring a good, strong backup point guard into this team, no matter what happens from here. You need that guy. Yeah.
Joe,
sure.
I'm with what Ian said. I would think you need two. I think you need two pieces for the bench. Joe, thanks for the call.
Well, I think the –
And I don't know, Chris Paul, no one's talking about it. Like, think about it. If you just put it on paper, everything makes sense. Everything. All of it makes sense.
He knows all the tricks, man.
Yes.
Like, he can get you steals in the lane. You can facilitate.
Just smart.
You can play them both together.
Still a little something left. Like, can he defend? No. But, you know, like you can survive because he's smart.
Right.
Like, he's not going to play 30, 40 minutes. He's not Chris Paul of old, but he's Chris Paul who's old. But doesn't mean he stinks. Like, he's shown when he played this year that there's still something there.
Yeah, and like I think this would be more of a offense in which he's tailored to, and you just talk about him being able to get your team into half court sets as well. Mm-hmm. When you got to get a basket, not having to create, he can create with the movement and the pass and his basketball acumen. He knows how to get a defender on his back, draw a flop foul. He's gonna punch two or three
as
people.
Long
in the balls.
Scott Foster isn't doing the game.
Yeah. He's gonna punch a couple dudes in the balls, but that's okay. That just comes with Chris Paul. But you know, I think the nugget that he gave us was, you know, that Bagley gave us was the fact that, you know, they have the exemption that, you know, very few teams have, so they can go in the buyout market and offer something to Kyle Lowry to be able to come. I think that's really what's the secret sauce that he gave us.
Yeah,
because a lot of people don't understand. That's like the nuanced stuff. You know what I mean? That's why we ask a guy like Bax to come on to give y'all guys that type of stuff. So when you go argue with your friends, you got a little ammunition to say, man, you don't even know, man.
Yeah, you can be a little smarter. If you missed the interview, we'll have it on a podcast and we'll put that up in a little while. But
we got a podcast?
You didn't know that? Yeah, we can do that. We take things like interviews and turn them into podcast form and share them with people so that they do get all that information in case they happen to miss it.
Is that on YouTube?
No, it's just in a podcast form. We could share it on different social media platforms.
You know, watching Club Shay.
Which you could do. You do have social media platforms that are for more than just you scrolling. You can post things too. You're allowed.
Watching Shay Shay. I feel like we might be able to just go on YouTube and just start up our own The Gout. You know what I'm saying?
That'd be nice. It'd be great if we could do that. But
who knows? Maybe we can get MGM to sponsor us.
That would sound. That would
we can take. We can steal. We can steal all our sponsors from ESPN.
Just go. We just go solo.
Buy into us.
So we break off into our own thing. We do a spinoff.
Yeah, we do a spinoff, but we still the sponsors.
We do the reverse McAfee.
Yes.
We leave ESPN to have our own thing.
No. We still work with ESPN, but we separate ourselves so we can grow that brand too, and then we can resell it back to ESPN later.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Let's spitball this in a meeting later.
Yeah.
I like this idea. People will come with us, I think, right?
Yeah, they'll come listen, and we start putting.
And the best part is,
there.
We could do that. We could do the show whenever we want, like which would fit around your eating schedule.
Yeah. Actually, like anything after 12, you know.
I've learned
after 12, then we good.
Yes, I think we've been well aware of that. Dave in East Meadow. Dave,
what up, Dave?
Hey guys, I'm a couple things. I'm listening. First of all, Alan, if anybody calls up and mentions Bones Highland, just hang up on the call, please.
We've had two of them.
I couldn't
We've had two Bones
two
Highland
days in
calls.
A row, someone's like Bones Highland. Like, come on now. You know.
He can't play for the Clippers, man. Like, you think he's coming here to play for Tibbs? If Ty Lue won't play him, right?
Yep. So listen, regarding, you know, I listened to everything. Bobby Marks was awesome with you guys the other day. He really broke it down.
Yep. Explained a lot.
Especially talking about season, but I don't want to wait and hang my hat on maybe Devin Booker shakes loose. Maybe I don't want to do that. Okay. To me, DeJounte Murray fits. I'm looking at his 4 year, like 114. I don't see, even if there was a Devin Booker, why that contract isn't still a very good contract when all these superstars are making 40 and 45.
More.
I think that's
60.
A good contract.
So, Dave, yeah. the one thing about that, and you heard Ian Begley just say it, and that's the thing, doing an in-season deal for a guy like DeJounte Murray, and again, Ian said this, is the Knicks are not inclined to break up that starting five that has really gelled and has played. And that backcourt, the two of them, DiVincenzo and Brunson, it's something special developing between the two. You want to call it Splash Brothers East? Like, whatever you want to call it, they have something. They're averaging 60 a game together as a backcourt. Like, it's something special. And so they don't want to mess with it, and I understand it. You know, like, I do want – like, they want to shore up the bench more than anything right now.
I understand that, but there's – look, Bruce Brown, solid contract. You could totally flip that. Brogdon comes off the books. Those are fine, too. Yep. But there's got to be a way in the rotation. Remember, well, DiVincenzo wasn't starting in the beginning of the year, so he can come off the bench. He's come off the bench most of his career.
True.
I don't see why you could stagger the minutes where you pull Brunson a little bit earlier and then you reinsert him with DiVincenzo. You know, there's got to be a way to work that rotation with those three guys if Grimes is going to be headed out of here.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with you on how you could figure it out. What I'd say is I'd probably rather have a training camp to do that instead of 20 games to go. We're in a sprint to make the playoffs and have to figure it out at the same time, Dave. That's all. Thanks for the call. That's the only thing I'm saying, Bart. Right? Like, I'm not denying that Murray could be a really good fit here. But it's to me, in the midst of a season and a lot of movement and a lot of interchangeable parts, if one thing I want to do is not disrupt the rotation that much anymore, and I'd rather just shore up my bench and bring in guys that the head coach can trust and leave in who have been there and done that. I think that's where we're at right now.
You know, what's so crazy and so enticing is when you look at the East, man. Like, Dame Dollar injury, Middleton looks old all of a sudden.
Middleton just hurt his ankle last night.
That's what I'm saying. Ankles. Yeah. Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? He stepped on Kevin Durant's foot after shooting a three. When you look at it, man, you're like, yo, it's only Boston. Like, the West is crazy.
Yep.
Like, if we make some moves, like, I know we want to wait, see what shake loose, but this might be our year where we can sneak in.
Yeah, they got to get everybody healthy. I'm with you.
But that's the crazy part. Like, next year, maybe you may get the player shake loose, but the path is harder.
It's a great point you're making.
It's kind of like the AFC this year. Like, next year, when Burrow's back, it's going to be harder.
Mm-hmm.
When this guy's back, it's going to be harder. Like, man, this might be the year, but you can still.
Buffalo had all their issues, right? There was all these little things that were like, wow, this is – The door is open. Yeah, the door
was
open.
Miami, everybody got hurt. Miami, they lost both their defensive ends. Like, man.
Yeah.
So this might be the time for the Knicks. Like, next year something might shake loose and you have, revisionist history.
Right.
Yeah. Where you're talking about, man, we should have waited because look what shook loose. But that player may not be able to, the East could be loaded. Like, Philly may do something crazy.
Right? You have the guarantee and then you have the maybe.
Yeah.
Which do you go for? You know, and the guarantee is what you go for. But as I said, there's some things, though, that if you disrupt too much, it can – we've seen it in other places where you make the gigantic – look at the Suns last year. You make a massive trade, and it just messes everything up to where you really never could get on track as a group. You need a training camp to do that. And so they were lucky with OG because he stepped in and he just fit perfect.
Defense always fits perfect.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, 800-919-3776. We'll continue with your calls. We have Mike Tannenbaum in the 1 o'clock hour, as we always do, and some interesting news for a friend of the show that you know, Bart, very well, that Mike knows very well, that we all know very well, and Rex Ryan, that we all have to discuss. We'll get into all that stuff as well. But next up, your calls. Stay with us, Bart and Han, 98.7 ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart and Han, Mike Tannenbaum joining us in the 1 o'clock hour. Hey, come see the Michael Kay Show live this Friday at 3 p.m. at Platt Deutsch in Franklin Square out on Long Island for a special countdown to kickoff broadcast. Get you ready for the big game. Live music from one of the Tri-State's best cover bands, The Mystic. We're bringing the big game experience to you at Platt Deutsch Park. It's brought to you by Wise Snack, Security Dodge, Resorts World, Catskills, Chili Willy, and Cool Carl's Ice, Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, and the new Tullamore Dew Honey. 800-919-3776. We'll go through some calls here. We have Jack in Rockaway. Jack.
Jack. Come on, Jack.
Jack.
You off hole, man. Jack, what are you ordering?
Jack is a Nets fan.
Jack going once. Because listen,
people say we don't talk Nets, and I'm trying to take a Nets fan call right now, and Jack's got other business going on.
Tell you what, one
thing. We lost Jack. Don't say we didn't try. I mean, you called. I tried to take the call. You're not even paying attention.
Well, the Kyrie return yesterday, you know what I'm saying? He put on, you know, just the ultimate tease, showing what could have been.
I mean, how insufferable was that?
The Nets got the ugliest uniforms. Like who made those?
I don't love those.
They look like some AAU uniforms. What
you mean
the hell?
You mean the crayon ones with
yes,
all the crayon?
Yeah, like, bro, what the hell is this? Texas?
I like their black uniforms are.
It's
sweet.
Okay. It's okay.
No. The black ones that say Brooklyn on them.
They're okay. I like them better when they're white with black stuff.
No, those are legit.
No, they so plain.
I'll give you a secret. I'll let out a secret. I'll tell you a secret. If I did not have the job I have covering the Knicks for MSG, I might cop a Brooklyn, a black Brooklyn jersey.
Nah,
like
see,
I love that jersey.
But for me, the hardest thing to ever do is to make something look super super clean with only two colors.
What are you talking about? That's the best, the classic.
No. Penn State, Wacky D uniforms.
You're out of your mind, Penn State. No, okay. You know I only own one college football uniform? And it is Penn State number 32.
That's your problem.
No, I don't buy jerseys. I'm not a big jersey. I don't wear them. I don't buy. But that one, I love that jersey.
It's super difficult when
that
you only
Nittany
have two
Lion,
colors.
That blue. You're out of your mind.
You listen. If you did a poll, the best jerseys or whatever the colors, it wouldn't be them. Sometimes you need a third color. Like to be able to offset the pipe, throw pipe.
Disagree. That white and that blue. Kajana Carter is the jersey that I'm like. I saw that jersey. He was such a great running back. I got that jersey for that.
But it's not.
And Alabama, the crimson. There's nothing. Nothing.
That's the most plain wacky D. It's nothing you can do to make that look good. It's not you can.
What did Southern Illinois have? What was your
the same two colors? That's wacky D.
Nothing wacky D about that.
It's the same colors as basically Alabama, maroon and white. And it's hard
it's
to freak another color.
Maroon, it's different. It's not crimson.
Okay, whatever. It's in the Merlot family. Put it like that.
Merlot.
You know what I'm saying? Just like Indiana's whack too, because
you know
it's
we
the
were
same two colors.
You know what we were post? We had three colors. You know what they were?
What?
Green, yellow, and white.
Yeah, Baylor.
You talk about wacky D?
You can freak that.
Oh, we had like silky, like baggy short, silky like kind of look.
You can freak that. That's Baylor. Baylor, like you can use the yellow. You can turn it to gold. Nah. But when you have that third color,
Oregon Ducks. Like I'm all set.
Who got better uniforms than Oregon Ducks?
But LIU now the Sharks.
Playing.
That whole thing they got the powder blue and the yellow like that. Now that's
sometimes you just need that third color. Like look at a team like LSU, right?
Yeah.
When you look at like LSU, they can go with the white, but then they can have the yellow
Notre Dame.
Piping on the outside.
Notre Dame. Blue, no, gold.
No, no.
What's wrong with that?
Their uniforms are like pee-pee. They get wet, and their pants are like pee-pee.
What is wrong with you?
Like, even the Jets, the colors sometimes look whack because they need a third color. That's why they added the black into it. When you look at
the primary color. The green should be the piping, in my opinion.
When you look at the Giants, they stuff always sweet because they can go white. They can go gray, blue, and white. They can go the white on white with the gray and the blue piping.
We're going to have
to discuss
this later in the show.
You got three colors.
I'm making a note. I'm making a note. Power Hour, we're going to discuss this. We're going to discuss this.
You need a third color, man. When you only got two colors, you can't switch it up.
We're coming back to this. We're coming back to this conversation because there's no way you're right on that. There's no way that you could say that Alabama and Notre Dame are wacky.
Pistons
deep.
Got some of the best colors because they can play with them different ways. They can go
red, white,
red,
and blue. It's like the Rangers.
Yes, but they can go red with it. Yeah. That's a primary color. They can go white with it.
The Rangers have never done that. The Rangers have never gone red as a primary in their jersey. I've just realized that. They've done blue. They have tons of blue.
Yeah.
And they've obviously the white. That they have they? I don't think they've ever done red.
That'd be dope. Red with the blue letters with the white piping.
Now, what are they doing for the stadium series? Is that red? Maybe that's red. Because I know the Islanders won that. It's growing on me. At first I saw it, I thought it was like a Gap rugby from the 80s. But then I saw the whole jersey, and then I'm like, no, that's kind of hot. That's kind of hot. I kind of like that now.
Okay, but let's take your two color scenario, right?
Let me see. The
place
Rangers,
like any place like Indiana, whack, right?
It's white. It's
place
white.
Like Indiana with the red and white, whack. You take the same color and you just add a little gray or silver to it. Then you got Ohio State, fire. They can do so many different things. Fire.
I'm not feeling that.
Okay.
I'm not feeling
that. The only team, in my opinion, that got like two colors that look good, is Michigan. And that's because the helmets are unique.
What?
It's because the helmet is unique.
No.
And
the helmet's
I guess
unique.
They got three. I guess
you
they
just
got three because they got
Dame
white.
Notre Dame is wacky D because they're two colors, and the Notre Dame helmet is literally
it's basic.
Gold.
It's just a gold helmet.
Yeah.
It's no emblem on it. There's no logo on it. It's just plain
exactly.
helmet.
It's classic. It's gold.
That's no different. That's no different helmet. Than when the Lions wear the silver and blue.
It's a lot different because it's not silver. It's
okay,
gold.
But you don't like that altogether. They look much better when they have
don't
the
like
white,
it. I
silver,
love
blue.
It. Wow.
You bro, two colors.
Listen to me, man. You know I love you like a brother. You couldn't be more wrong.
I'm just telling
you. You couldn't be more wrong
with
this.
The worst uniforms in the world, they're classic. But then
Penn
you get tired
State
of them.
Is Man. Not a all that's an incredibly classic no. college football uniform. Classic. When they're wearing the blue with the white pants, you gotta be kidding me.
Look like a school
uniform. Look like a school uniform. No, I disagree.
Blue pants and a white shirt and a blue tie.
It's the blue, but it's the richness of the blue.
Nah, bro.
It's that Nittany Lion blue. That's a special color.
They sell that
at Home Depot. You can put that on your wall.
It's the splash of red in the Dodgers uniform that sets it off. Accent color.
Yeah, the number. The number's
splash.
Red.
Splash.
So you're excited about a little red number.
You got to have an accent color, man. You can't just have two colors.
We're going to have to discuss this. We'll see what Mike T thinks of it, too, because he's big into sports and all that stuff. And what would he do if he was running the Nittany Lions? Would he say, no, we got to add red?
The Jets colors uniforms whack, man, because you only can do two colors.
It's different. Green's a very difficult. It's difficult.
Just green and white.
But that's what the Celtics have done forever, since the beginning of time. How's that working out for them?
But when they put them black with the green letters with the white piping,
I don't like that.
Fire.
I think the Jets, because they're no longer owned by the Hess family, they don't need green anymore. You know, that's why they went to green, right? Like, that was the whole idea.
But you want to go back to them ugly mustard Titan colors?
No. You keep the green, but it becomes the third color. It's the piping, the black and the white.
Now you want to take a two-color team and want to add piping. You want to add a color. Oh, now
they've
you want
already
to do
put
it.
The They already put black in. They've already done that. It's already there.
Oh.
That's been going on since the 80s.
But that's not official color.
It should be. It's different.
It's different. It is different. Two colors are different, but blue and white is cool, but green and white is not.
You know what? We have to go. 800-919-3776. We are definitely getting back into this conversation, but we have more to get into with Mike Tannenbaum, including Rex Ryan in Dallas. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So the NBA trade deadline is set for tomorrow. Plenty of talk about what the Knicks could do. Earlier this morning on DPHRO and Rothenberg, the guys ran through the possibilities.
What does your gut tell you to do?
Nothing huge.
Well, sounds like the price for Clarkson is high.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's
I don't want to overpay for anybody. No. I know the teams that acquire typically overpay.
Bruce Brown. Bruce Brown would
I like
sense.
Bruce Brown. I like Brogdon. Murray feels like it's kind of pipe dreamish.
Mm.
You think it's realistic?
Well, I think depending on the report you read. I mean,
and what are you willing to give up?
The report I read was two firsts.
But see, here's the thing. You give up two firsts and you're still in contention when that guy becomes available, right?
That's the math you got to do.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey. During tonight's action, glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.